You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
And you have put us within reach of the Democratic nomination for President of the United States of America.
And I'm going to keep standing up for the voters of Florida and Michigan.
Good morning, everybody. As you hear there, split themes from the candidates. A split decision last night, as we mentioned a moment ago. Hillary Clinton wins the Kentucky primary, and Barack Obama wins the Oregon primary. And it's a sort of a split strategy between now and the nomination. There is simple arithmetic to be done to determine who is going to be the Democratic nominee. And here to discuss the simple arithmetic and the new math of the November election, which is much more complicated, is our takeaway political director, Andrea Bernstein. First, the simple math, the simple arithmetic. What's the delegate count? Stand at now?
Well, as of right now, Barack Obama is 70 delegates away, but they're still counting the votes in Oregon, only about 86% as of this hour. And so there's about 10 more delegates from Oregon still to be allocated. But last night he picked up 25 in Oregon and 14 in Kentucky, and that puts him almost within spitting distance of the nomination under the current rules, which do not include Florida and Michigan.
Right. Andrea, don't you love the way John said simple math? There's nothing simple about this, and particularly if you ask the Clinton campaign, right? Because their calculations are far different than what some others are estimating the delegate count to be.
The Clinton campaign is including Florida and Michigan, and they're saying you need 2210, and their theme, including the victory speech last night and thereafter, all their spin has been no one is the Democratic nominee, no one has the math, although in that clip that I heard at the top of the segment from Barack Obama, I heard him saying, well, I'm almost the nominee, so all but declaring victory.
Well, it seems, though, that the winning the majority of the pledged delegates, which is what Obama has done, which is an insurmountable odd, at least according to the current rules, explains what I detected as a shift in tone last night. Here is Hillary Clinton talking in her speech, which I thought in general, aside from talking about Florida and Michigan, was pretty conciliatory.
Whatever happens, I'll work as hard as I can to elect a Democratic president this fall. We will come together as a party, united by common values and common cause.
And you also heard that tonal shift in Barack Obama in this clip here.
We've had our disagreements during this campaign, but we all admire her courage and her commitment and her perseverance. And no matter how this primary ends, Senator Clinton has shattered myths and broken barriers and changed the America in which my daughters and your daughters will come of age. And for that, we are grateful to her.
I'm hearing some TLC in both of these candidates talking about each other, Andrew.
Right, and in some ways their speeches were remarkably similar. What I think is very interesting about that clip is Obama has been picking up on a theme that has been emerging in the last week about women and the significance for women of Hillary Clinton not being the Democratic nominee and not being the first potential women president. Bill Clinton's been talking about sexism. Hillary Clinton, for this week, for the first time in an interview with the Washington Post, also openly talking about sexism in this race, and his talking about his daughters was a sort of kind of a gracious extension of, you know, this means something for me personally and my family. And there's a huge rift that has to be healed. I mean, however this thing ends, Hillary Clinton came close.
Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting point, especially when you take a look at the Kentucky numbers, in that Clinton drew support from white women, whites who did not attend college. And those are the groups that have consistently not been terribly supportive of Obama. So this notion of unifying the Democratic Party, and she mentioned that several times in her speech last night, certainly the note of, okay, at some point we're going to have to all come together.
Right. Although it's interesting because people close to her are still telling me that she believes she can still win this. So this is not just about her sort of fading out gently into the sunset.
But it's a November argument that she's making. She thinks she can win because she can persuade people that Obama doesn't stand up to the new math of the Electoral College arithmetic that you have to do to calculate winning in November. Is she right?
Well, the question
is she right? Look at the maps.
Is whose math do you use? Do you use the map that Bill Clinton used in the 1990s, or do you use the map that Obama says he's talking about, which includes some states that have been very red, for example, Virginia. And he's looking at Missouri, and he's looking at Iowa, and he's looking at New Mexico and Colorado. So this is not necessarily the Clinton coalition, but he says it's a new coalition, and by bringing in new voters, that's what he's looking for.
But the Clintons would say, can you win Florida? I don't think so. Can you win Michigan? I don't think so. Can you win Pennsylvania? I don't think so. Are they right?
Well, Florida, the Obama people said they can potentially put together an electoral map without Florida. Can they win Pennsylvania? Well, Pennsylvania's been pretty consistently blue. I mean, it did go for John Kerry when a lot of other states didn't. Iowa and Michigan fight for him, but, you know, he's from the Midwest. They're Midwestern states. He's going to have to make an economic argument. We began to hear some of that last night, and I expect we're going to be hearing a lot of that this summer.
And
I mean,
he's got $37 million in the bank.
$37 million in the bank, which certainly doesn't hurt. But the other thing is, it seems all of the old rules, all of the old records have been completely tossed out in this past year.
Right.
And so it's going to be interesting to see what the campaigns, what they rely on in moving forward in these strategies and to see exactly how it all evolves from
here. And we should know enough after these 5 crazy months to not be always looking at the past for a roadmap. And, you know, that is what the Obama campaign has been arguing, and we'll see whether that applies in the general election, as it certainly has applied in these primaries.
It's kind of refreshing. And certainly to me, who likes to make outlandish predictions, I'm wrong just like everybody else. Andrea Bernstein, the Takeaways political director, thank you
very much. You said that, not me, John.
I always say
just
that.
Just mark that down.
The
21st.
Okay.
I'm
on record.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.